Dr. Jeffrey Halstead has been Canandaigua's hometown dentist for more than 35 years, offering routine dental care as well as cosmetic dentistry, implants, and dentures by their highly trained and experienced staff. Visit them online at canandaiguadentistry.com or find them on Facebook and Instagram.
Do you want to know what's happening in the Finger Lakes? We do too. We're going in depth with decision makers in the heart of upstate New York to get the answers you need. From the team of FingerLakes1.com, this is Inside the FLX.
Welcome back to Inside the FLX. Today I am joined by Chris Lajeski from the Montezuma Audubon Center in Wayne County for our almost spring update, I'm calling it. Chris, thanks for being here today.
It's great to be with you, Josh.
Nice and warm out there. It's like 70 degrees as we record this. I guess late winter in upstate New York, huh?
Yeah, this is the new normal, apparently. I mean, second winter in a row when we haven't had much snow. We've had record-breaking mild conditions this winter. Birds are already coming back in huge numbers. Beautiful day out there, but unusual conditions for sure.
Yeah. Let's talk about that bird movement. Waterfowl migration, it's underway. What can you tell us about that? And also, this kind of weather, does it speed that process up?
Well, with birds and migratory birds in particular, they start to move from their wintering grounds to their breeding grounds when hormones kick in, and those hormones are triggered by daylight hours. So here we are, we're getting a decent amount of daylight now, and so those hormones are kicking in. Waterfowl in particular have been on the move. We've been seeing hundreds of thousands of ducks, geese, and swans returning to the entire Finger Lakes region, and one of the best places in the region to see these birds is the Montezuma Wetlands Complex. We have 20,000 acres of public land that people can enjoy. There are about 30 miles of hiking trails and dozens of miles of areas that they can drive on public roads. Now, the National Wildlife Refuge Drive and their visitor center down in Seneca Falls on 5 and 20 remains closed, and that won't open again until April 1st. However, there's still ample opportunities to see all these birds. We're seeing thousands of snow geese continue to pour into the Montezuma area. You know, every time you're outside enjoying the day, going for a walk, I regularly see hundreds, if not thousands, of these decent-sized white birds. Canada geese continue to come in. Tundra swans and trumpeter swans are also here, and those are one of our largest bird species that we have. They have about an 8-foot wingspan, almost entirely white birds, spectacular. Great variety of ducks. Everything from our more typical mallard and American black duck to species like northern pintail, ring-neck duck, American widgeon, and so many others. The other species that I've started to notice a little bit more of are the sandhill cranes. They're starting to come back into the area. Now, not huge flocks, not hundreds, but we're seeing maybe a dozen over here and maybe a half a dozen over there. Yeah. Places to go would be down at the National Wildlife Refuge Visitor Center. Even though the center itself is closed, you can go on their deck and enjoy a nice marsh habitat where about a dozen cranes have been seen. And then up north on the state land where the Audubon Center is located on Route 89, we've been seeing smaller groups, maybe 5 or 6 sandhill cranes in the marshes and the agricultural fields around. So with all of this habitat, beautiful weather, birds coming back in, it's a great time to get out to Montezuma.
Yeah, and we were talking before we came on here that, you know, you're seeing more of these birds for longer portions of the winter now because of the warmer weather, especially with the sandhill cranes. Mm-hmm. How much of a break really was there this winter season? You know, how many weeks were we talking about where the sandhill cranes, you weren't really seeing too many sandhill cranes, like now you are?
Yeah, it was maybe a month. I think it was the third week of January when winter really came in. We had sustained below freezing temperatures, and that pushed the remaining sandhill cranes a little bit further south. They probably went down to the mid-Atlantic states for the rest of this winter, and now last week we started to see them coming back into the area. We generally have about 7 pair of sandhill cranes that breed within the Montezuma Wetlands Complex, so not a significant number, but there are coming back into the area, and great places to see them would be the Audubon Center, state land over on Morgan Road, and places like Carn Cross Road. These are areas right in the heart of Savannah, New York, just around the corner from the Audubon Center. And if folks aren't familiar with these areas, these roads, they can give us a call at the Audubon Center, or send us an email, or stop in to the Audubon Center. We're on Route 89 in Savannah, and we can direct them to places where they can go and go for a hike or just go for a drive and see some incredible birds this time of year.
More foot traffic with the warmer weather this winter?
For sure. Yeah. You know, people love to go snowshoeing, and they've gotten used to snowshoeing on a foot to 2 feet of snow. Well, this is now the second winter in a row, and that hasn't happened. But with the milder conditions, easier travel, easier to get around, people have been stopping into the center to check out our indoor exhibits, go out on our 2 miles of trails right at the center, and get an update on where birds are and where they can go to see them.
Yeah. Okay, so let's get into our species spotlight for the month, the northern pintail. Tell us a little bit about that bird.
This is a duck species that we're seeing more of now as we go into March and spring migration. It's one of our larger duck species, about the size of a mallard, but the plumage is very different than a mallard. So the male northern pintail is unique. It has a long, slender neck. The throat area is mostly white. The head is a chocolate brown, but there is this chin strap of white that goes from the neck area up to the brown head, which is kind of a distinguishing feature. So you see that along the side of the head. The other unique feature of this, it has a long tail. The males have a much longer tail than the females do. Female northern pintails are more drab in color, kind of mottled brown and white, but they do have a decent long tail. We're seeing northern pintails flocking up in the hundreds right now. As we go deeper into March, we're going to see thousands of them stopping in Montezuma's marshes and flooded agricultural fields. They're going to be feeding mostly on vegetation this time of year. It could be any new growth that's coming up, given the mild conditions that we have, greenery, leaves, but they'll also go after seeds. Maybe corn or even soybean waste grain that farmers didn't collect back last fall. So northern pintail, I wanted to highlight that this year because we already have them in Montezuma, and we're going to be seeing even more of them as we go throughout the spring season.
And we've got a bunch of events to talk about here coming up. First, live bird of prey presentation with Kindred Kingdoms. That's coming up in a couple weeks here, mid to late March, right?
Yeah, Saturday, March 16th at 2 o'clock. This is really exciting for us at the Audubon Center because it's going to be our first live bird of prey program in 4 years. Wow. You know, with COVID, we had to change programming up, and we just haven't gotten back to these large in-person events. We're going to have about 100 people expected at this event because everyone loves to see live birds of prey.
Of course.
Kindred Kingdoms is, I think, the premier educational organization that we have in the Finger Lakes region when it comes to live birds of prey. Gene and Len Soprano have been leading Kindred Kingdoms organization now for a couple of decades. Not only are they educators, but they're also rehabilitators. So they bring a unique perspective to their in-person programming. They can talk about why a bald eagle was brought to them and how they were able to bring that bald eagle back to health and then successfully release it into the wild. We're going to have some hawks on display. Owls, falcons will be at this presentation coming up on March 16th as well. Following the presentation with Kindred Kingdoms, we're going to take people out for a stroll at the Audubon Center to look for wild birds of prey. We do have bald eagles that nest on the property, red-tailed hawks as well. By mid-March, and if the weather holds, we may already start to have osprey moving back into the area. So there's going to be a lot to see both inside the Audubon Center and outside for the stroll. Space is limited for this event. Registration is required, and we ask folks to go to our website, montezuma.audubon.org, click on that Programs and Events button, and they'll see this program where they can register, as well as all the other great programs we have to offer.
Certain pockets or portions of the property where birds of prey are more frequent, or is it pretty spread out across the entire property?
We have birds of prey that will inhabit the forest, grassland, and the marsh habitats. Okay. So wherever you go, you have a chance of seeing birds of prey. Right now, we're seeing northern harriers, which is a large hawk bird in the grasslands, sometimes hunting over the marshes as well. Out in the forests, we have red-tailed hawks. We have owl species. Three owl species reside out there. And there's also bald eagles nesting out there in the property. So wherever you go at the Montezuma Audubon Center, you're guaranteed to see some birds and probably raptors.
There's always a chance. Yeah. All right. A week later, we've got a bald eagle excursion happening March 23rd, it looks like. Tell us a little bit about that.
That's right. So this is a great family event coming up Saturday, March 23rd, 10 o'clock in the morning. We're going to take people out for a unique stroll through the swamp habitat to experience our bald eagle nest. Now, we're not going to get too close. We're going to stay about 500 feet away, but we'll provide binoculars and spotting scopes for everyone. And because we're going out into the swamp habitat, we encourage people to wear rubber boots or maybe hip waders.
Dress accordingly.
Yeah, you just never know how deep that water is. Right now, the water continues to decrease the water levels there along the swamp and the nearby creek. So shouldn't be too deep, but we definitely encourage at least knee boots, you know, muck boots. Yeah. This is a unique program. We've never led this type of program. Typically, we stay on our trails. We're going to be going off trail at the Audubon Center to see a six-year-old bald eagle nest. It's fairly substantial in size. It's already about 4 feet wide and about 2-3 feet deep, and they just add on to the nest every year with more nesting material, sticks, twigs, and branches. We have nesting going on out there, and so we're probably going to see an adult eagle sitting on eggs, and we're going to be talking about the biology of bald eagles, why we have so many bald eagles at Montezuma, and tell the conservation success story of bald eagles and how we almost lost them due to a variety of reasons, habitat loss and DDT pesticide poisoning back in the mid-1900s. So unique opportunity to get out and see a real bald eagle nest and bald eagles as well.
Yeah, and dress accordingly. Yeah, emphasis on the dressing accordingly, going off trail. Obviously, the event, I think, of the spring that everybody has been talking about nonstop, it seems like, since last fall, is finally almost here. We're getting closer to it, the solar eclipse. Birding excursions related to the actual eclipse itself. Talk to us about that. What do we have going on there?
Right. Monday, April 8th. Starting at 11 o'clock a.m., we are going to offer hourly birding hikes at Montezuma Audubon Center. So we're limiting each hike to 20 people. We do have solar glasses available for folks if they want to join us for one of these hourly excursions, or if they just want to show up to the Audubon Center and enjoy the trails on their own. We have a couple hundred glasses that we can give to folks. Now, this is going to be, again, an experience that we've never had before at the Audubon Center. You know, we do birding hikes all the time. We lead excursions all the time on the property. But to lead a hike during a solar eclipse is something that we've never done. Will owls start to hoot? Will songbirds start to move to their nests again in anticipation of nightfall?
Yeah.
Will waterfowl stop, you know, calling and singing? We don't know. So it'll be fun to experience. I would imagine that 3 to 4 o'clock time slot of birding excursion is going to fill up the quickest. We still have space in all of our birding excursions coming up April 8th. Schools are out. Right, families are going to be home probably looking for something to do, a unique experience here. Registration is, again, on our website, and we look forward to seeing people from all over the world probably at Montezuma and all across the Finger Lakes region, and really looking forward to highlighting the birds that are migrating into the Montezuma Wetlands Complex on April 8th.
What are you most curious about environmentally or when it comes to wildlife with regard to the solar eclipse? Obviously, there's no playbook for it. We don't exactly know how any of it's going to go. But I'm curious what you just, as a conservationist, what your like perspective is on what you're most curious about.
Well, I'm curious because it's going to be about 3 minutes of darkness here. Just how cool will the air temperature get? That's going to be noticeable.
Yeah.
Even if it is just for a brief time. Is it going to drop 5 degrees or 10 degrees? Not sure. Are we going to hear those great horned owls, barred owls, eastern screech owls starting to call, you know, starting to hoot from those forested habitats where they're nesting? They typically start to call right around sunset. It's going to be almost, you know, that dark on April 8th, about 3:20 in the afternoon. So, you know, will we start to see large flocks of migratory birds leave the sky and hunker down for that brief 3 minute period?
Yeah.
Fun to watch.
Yeah, interesting stuff. Let's bring it back into March. We've got an event coming up, what I think is this coming weekend.
That's right.
Talk to us about that one.
Yeah, I wanted to highlight this here because this coming Saturday, March 9th, 10 o'clock in the morning, over at our Onondaga Lake Conservation Corps program, we're going to be featuring 4 nature photographers for this two-hour program. This is a unique opportunity to hear from people who spend hours, literally hours a day, taking photographs of Onondaga Lake's birds and other wildlife. Obviously, the bald eagles are going to be a big part of this program, and as well as the waterfowl that use Onondaga Lake as an important resting stop during migration. So 4 different photographers are going to be featured. Everyone's going to be talking for about a half hour or so. Everything from tips and tricks on how to take that perfect image of a bald eagle sitting in a tree, or several bald eagles soaring together over the lake or another type of habitat. We're also going to feature a photographer who's taken incredible videos from his kayak out on Onondaga Lake. So a unique perspective of bald eagles and other birds that are residing there at the lake and now nesting there at the lake. And then another photographer is going to showcase the habitats that the Onondaga Lake Conservation Corps has helped to restore. You know, over the last decade now, we've helped restore 90 acres of shoreline and wetlands that are now home to well over 200 bird species. And that's a far cry from what the number of species that were found at Onondaga Lake even 30, 40 years ago. So amazing conservation success story, and all these photographers that we're going to feature here this Saturday have an incredible story to tell, funny stories, serious stories as well, and stories of conservation success. So really proud of that. If people are interested in learning more and registering for this program, then go to our Onondaga Lake Conservation Corps website, and that's ny.audubon.org/OLCC.
Gotcha. And a couple of extra things here I wanted to touch on, just kind of get people up to speed. First of all, volunteer opportunities. I would imagine as the weather gets warmer, so do increase the number of volunteer opportunities that you guys have out there. What's the best way for folks in the community who want to get involved, want to help you guys out? What's the best way to either figure out where you guys need the help or just reach out and connect with someone who can, you know, take their information, whatever the case may be?
Yeah, so a lot of different ways to reach out to Montezuma Audubon Center. Phone number 315-365-3588. Emailing us, montezuma@audubon.org is another way. We also have all of our volunteer opportunities listed on our website, montezuma.audubon.org. And you're right, as we are going into the spring season now, those opportunities to get involved in active conservation work will only increase. Last week, I met with my colleagues from the National Wildlife Refuge in New York State DEC, and we set up the entire year's worth of habitat restoration projects that are going to take place. So we're going to be starting in early April. So in about a month's time, we're going to be welcoming in volunteers. I've just got the flyer this morning, so we'll be putting that up on the website here in the next day or two. Everything from surveying new tracts of land that the National Wildlife Refuge has acquired and surveying for native species as well as invasive species, and that will help guide some future work in removing those invasive plant species. As we go into, say, the summer months, we're going to be looking to get volunteers to help us with water chestnut removal. So that's going to involve paddling in canoes and kayaks, being fairly competent in how to identify a water chestnut. Will provide all the training and the resources to help volunteers do that. And then it's just a fun way to be out there in the morning on a summer day and hand pulling water chestnut out of the water. As we go deeper into the year, we're going to transition to additional surveying of lands, but also seed collecting, going down to our friends down the Seneca Meadows Wetlands Preserve here in Seneca Falls, collecting seed that is going to be used to restore similar grasslands and wetland habitats at the refuge as well as the New York State DEC areas.
When you start to think about warmer winters, how do you think that would impact the strategy around conserving the natural environment out there? How does that change the calculus if winters continue to warm up here in upstate New York?
We're seeing, shorter winters, milder winters, no doubt about that. Birds are telling us that that is the case. Our thermometers are telling us that's the case as well. So we're seeing birds stay longer in the Finger Lakes region. No doubt we're going to see a transition at some point here where southerly, not only bird species and other wildlife surveys, but plant species are going to move northward. They might need assistance in order to do that because birds may be able to respond a little bit quicker to this warming climate, and they may come to an area like the Finger Lakes region where they think that there are going to be southern plant species growing here, but we don't have them yet. And so it might be a situation at some point down the road where we have to start planting some more subtly species, at least as of now, in order to help birds and other wildlife transition and adapt to this changing climate.
Wow. Hey, Chris, appreciate the time. As always, we'll be talking to you later this month.
Always a pleasure, Josh.
Hey, that is going to do it for this edition of Inside the FLX. For more, check out the show on YouTube, Spotify, or wherever you get podcasts. Thanks for watching. We'll see you next time.